You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by Northside Bible Church.
Ephesians 4, verses 10 through 16. And now, Father God, again, once we want to speak afresh of the privileges that we have, come aside now from the commonplace and to think upon the things that are eternal. And we recognize, even with this privilege, that we have great need. Therefore, we need your cleansing and your energizing, sanctifying work in our life in order that we may be the vessel to give a blessing and to receive a blessing. We pray that that spirit of need and desire will permeate our little assembly here this morning. That we will realize it's good to be here and leave this place with our hearts warmed in spite of whatever things may be in this life that are displeasing, that for this little while there'll be a comfort in the word for us, whatever that need may be. And so in that spirit, we have confidence in you now that you'll take care of every little detail, that your great son's name might be honored as you rebuke the evil one and build us up in the most holy faith. And this is for Christ Jesus' sake, in whose name we pray. Amen. Last week, we dealt with the unity of the Spirit, chapter 4. The book of Ephesians sets forth in its first three chapters the things that God has in store for us, those blessings, and the way in which God has worked them out on our behalf through the eternal purposes of God, which were before the foundation of the cosmos. And beginning in chapter 4 through chapter 6, there's six chapters in this little book of Ephesians, the fourth chapter begins the practical side, working out the great salvation that we have in Christ Jesus. And it begins with a desire to keep the unity of the Spirit of God. You recall that we dealt with 7 points. That there is but one body, there is but one spirit, there is but one hope, there is but one Lord, there is but one baptism, one faith, one God the Father of all. Now, men today are about trying to create ecumenical movements where you can have unity. But they do not seek unity in the way in which God has told them to keep. See, we're not told to establish unity. We're told to keep it. Keep that which God has ordained to be kept. But man has reversed the procedure like he does everything else. He's out to form a unity. And therefore, the results are disastrous. And we see it on every side. Whereas on the one hand, we should be the light of the world. On the other hand, we live in a world of darkness where truth is always trampled underfoot. You see, man is always desirous to make great sacrifices. But obedience is better than sacrifice. That's what God counts with God. If you obey God, there is no sacrifice because the sacrifice has already been made. And the same Lord that descended, as we read a little earlier, Ben did, also ascended far above all heavens, is now seated in the exalted place of the throne room of God, The beautiful thing about it is, in Ephesians 2:6, I'll remind you that we've been raised and seated together with him. We've been exalted to that high place. Now, to those who really desire to keep a unity of the Spirit, it has something in mind, as we'll be seeing today. You see, it's a progressive life, the Christian life. We've been saved already from the penalty of sin. That's been removed as far as the east is from the west. It's been hidden in the deepest sea, never to be remembered against you. To nail that point down real good in your mind now, we read that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses from all sin. Those verbs are all continuous action verbs. So when you come to confess to the Lord your sins, and you say, well, now here's one, Lord, that I just seem to fail every day in it. Remember, I talked to you about this yesterday. The Lord says, he scratched his head. He said, no, I don't remember. I hope you let that take hold of you. Your sins are hidden in the deepest sea, as far as the east is from the west, never to be remembered against you. God has forgotten. Think on that. The same God who did that gave certain men as his gift, and they're called apostles, prophets, evangelists, teachers, and pastors. And it has something in view for the perfecting of the saints. It's interesting, the word perfecting there. It's to mend up. It's a word that is used in the fishing villages of Greece. When the fishermen went out and they came in, they always took their nets and spread them on the shores and sat down and began to mend them up for the next trip out. And this is the word used here for the perfecting, for the mending up of the saints. You can see a twofold application as it was right then and as it is now. Then you were changing from a dispensation of the old to the new. And in the time you have a change of administrative ways, you have a need for adjusting or mending up amongst the people, because there's so many differences of opinion about what the new is will be as opposed to the old. And so you can see that God, if men would begin where God intends them to begin, desire to keep the unity of the faith on the 7 points that I mentioned a little earlier and yet spent last Sunday on, then they would be in a position to be acceptable and receptive to the mending up of God's activity through those men who've been given his gifts, you see. And that has something in view, too. Note, the perfecting of the saints for the saints' work of the ministry. You see, this was God's plan. The church is not for the world. This is God's place. It's a place where God's people come to be mended up, having in view their work of the ministry. You see, you don't have to go to a school of theology to know the simple plan of salvation. But you have to have people who are mended up, adjusted constantly, And God has given men for that reason to do that job. This is why you should have a good church home, somebody who follows God's ways, because God's people need constant mending. Just like the fisherman who has to mend his nets after every trip. A time of refreshment, a time to come aside, to sit down, and to fellowship with the things of God from the hurry and the rush of other days' life. We all need that. And the Holy Spirit has come at such an occasion as this to guide us whereabouts into all truth. And consequently, you can see the necessity of it. That there are times when you need to come aside to be refreshed, to be encouraged, to get back in. See, we're not of the world, but we're in the world. And it's a rat race out there, if you haven't found out. But it has, the mending up has in view your work in the ministry. And that's to lead a man to Christ and to bring him here to get him mended up, to be fed. But we reverse the order now. They run ads and go into the highways and byways to bring the lost into the church to lead him to Christ. This is a place where this is the feeding trough. And it's a good one. Even if it is, I guess by way of accommodations, we're about in the class of the feed trough compared with some of these great cathedrals. So let me, not to get off on that, but the surprising thing about that place, and I'm going to be a little more descriptive, and I think Ben didn't want to get off on it, but I think it has a good application here. We went in that place. It took a minute or two for your eyes to get adjusted. It was built in an L form, like this. This L was a long bar. There were three men sitting at the bar. And one of them was about 6'6". And if you've ever seen a real mountain man, he was one of those three. I'm not kidding you. He had a beard clear down here, and I don't mean just a little bitty beard, but I mean it was clear down. His hair was clear down around all of his shoulder. I don't think the clothes he had on had been washed, and I don't know when. He had just a T-shirt. He was tattooed up and down the arm. He was a scary-looking rascal. On this side of the L was two men and a woman in a family way, and she's sitting at the chair back with her feet popped up there. I'm not kidding you, this is what it was. And this L over here that's getting ready for the night, it was carting in music instruments, guitars and banjos and sound things, and one of these things that are traveling, you make a piano out of it. The whole ball game. It had electric sound they were putting up over the ballroom. It says the Long Riders. And that's what they look like, too. The Long Riders. There wasn't a one in that group that wasn't a character in himself. Now, the food, when the owner came out from behind the bar there, I said, "We got a menu?" He said, "No, what do you want?" I said, "What do you got?" He said, "Well, we got chicken fried steak. We got pork chops, smothered pork chops, and some other things." I said, "I'll have the chicken fried steak." Ben said, "I'll have the hamburger," and Dean had the hamburger. You know, years ago, the Yanese cooked chicken fried steak at home, cooked them in an iron skillet. It has a heavy crust upon it. They make the gravy out of the pan, scrape that crust in there. This was that kind of gravy. And there wasn't anything, the cook, well, I can't describe him. But anyhow, you know, I don't eat a lot, but I eat that, and I'll guarantee you I enjoyed it. It was delicious. It had red beans. Boy, I'm the kind that used to cook with big pots of fat meat, and delicious. And listen, believe it or not, the hamburgers, there was at least a half a pound in each one. That's thick. And when I got through, I went up there to the cashier. I said, I enjoyed that. Well, he said, we don't want you to leave here hungry. I said, well, I to assure you, McDonald's lost all his customers. Well, you know, that's exactly what you come here for. We don't have any, a lot of trimmings, and they didn't have either. But they served good food. The place was a lousy place to look at. And I suppose from a religious point of view, just don't exactly rock them when they come in here. But we want to feed you right, if we can, when you come here. We're not trying to make a name for ourselves. And reminds me of a little old Scotch lady that, pardon me, referring to my forebears. Her son had just graduated from seminary. And he went home on the weekend. He said, Mama, I'm going to have my first test at the church in the Dale next Sunday. And I'm scared to death. What'll I tell him? And the little old lady, his mother said, well, I don't know anything about the way in which you prepare for sermons like this, but I can give you one piece of advice. I trust you'd have a good word to say about Jesus. And so when you come here, I trust that you feel well fed, even if the surroundings are not conducive to atmosphere. That I think if you really are spiritual atmosphere, though, you see enough of the Word of God around this place here, that if you don't hear what I say, if you can read, you get a sermon right on the walls. But enough of that. I want to be serious. And God puts a little comedy in the scripture too. Most people miss it, but there's a lot of fun in the scriptures. And we need to travel through in our journeys in this life to be observant. One thing more I want to remark about that restroom, if you want to call it that, I don't know. But anyway, those people were as nice as they could be to us. They made you, they were just home folk. They really were. So you can't tell a book by its cover always, you know. Although I think, well, I don't get it. But anyhow, we're to feed God's people. Now notice again the words. For the mending up of the saints with a view toward their work. That little word for the work is ice. It means looking forward for what they can be accomplished. After they're mended up, they're to go out and do the work of the ministry. And the work of the ministry is to tell this old dead world that God was in Christ reconciling himself unto them. And if our people are mended up, encouraged, they'll get out and do it. And that has something in view, too. Bringing us, notice carefully, for the edifying and the building up is really for the building up of a body of the body of Christ. That's the only way you can do it honestly. One at a time. When you have an evangelist come to a church, they do that to win the lost. But the evangelist that should come to the church, he's a plowman. He comes to church to stir up God's people. That's what a plowman does. He plows up the ground. That's what he should do. See? Because the ground needs to be, if you know anything about farming, the ground needs to be broken constantly, every year. You don't just do it one time, it's got to be done constantly. And that's what an evangelist should do. He should break up the ground, the furrows. And that's the ground that's going to produce. And if the minister, other parts have fed the people well, and they're grounded up, and the plowman is plowed up well, and the teachers talk well, then God's people will be a ministry that's worthwhile. They'll be out there working one-on-one and leading the lost sheep in to be fed too, not to be slaughtered. Not to take their livelihood away from them. I remember in the Depression times, my uncle had a store out in Capitol Hill, is what they called it in those days. And I guess he wasn't a very good businessman in this sense. He'd been a good businessman before he came here. He had a store in Blanchard where I was born. He carried everything from sugar to hardware. But he came here and put a little business out there. We were going to retire in Capitol Hill. And he had just grocery stores then. And he had to open up accounts with local people in the area, you know. It's a Pentecostal section. Those people go pay their tithe at the church and let their grocery bill go down the drain. See? You can't do that, beloved, and if you feed God's people, they'll know that. God doesn't need anything from you. Not at all. And he freed you from that bondage to be a free man, to give from your heart as the Lord prospered you, not on a 10% basis. In fact, he may want 100% everything you've got, not 10%. But he don't make you ever a man of that doesn't keep his word. See, obedience is better than sacrifice. Always remember that. You don't have to figure things out. They've already been figured out. You just carry out the way he wants it done. If you adjust God's people, you feed them, and bring a plowman in once in a while to stir up things, you have some production. Can't help it. Individually. The sad thing about it, so many times the one-on-one, they get saved and they look at outward like everybody else. They're just babes. Boy, since I'm saved, this must be the... look at the crowds they got. And what do they get? Do they get fed when they go there? Where they got the crowds? Think about that. I'm sure building this up, aren't I? See? We got to have some excuse for not having the crowd. It's not an excuse, brother. It's a fact of life. And this should be constant. Notice verse 13. Till we all come in what? The unity of the faith. Now, if anything testifies to disunity, look how many different names we got out front on all these buildings. You wouldn't know sometimes any relationship between us at all. That's why when Ben we're looking at this ground out here, and we said, what are we going to call this building? I don't know whether he originated or I originated, but we was on the north side of town. We're going to teach the Bible. That's all we did, North Side Bible Church. See? And I say, we're sure building ourselves up today. We need to. Nobody else does. See? And so, till what there needs to be unity of faith. And I'll tell you, if you come here regularly, you're going to be in unity of this faith, because we're so far away from a lot of these places that you won't like it here. Nobody ever joins this church. You ever notice that? If you like the Word of God, you'll become a part of it. And that'll be by the Spirit. It won't be because we got a tank up here to duck you and make you a member. Because we believe that the Spirit of God is able to take care of that. You see? Till we all come in the unity of the faith. We believe the same thing. And that brings us, notice, to the knowledge of the Son of God. Now that word knowledge is that's full knowledge. When you come to the unity of faith, you're coming into full knowledge, not part. You see, a lot of God's people have some knowledge about the things of God, but until you have a unity of faith, there's no way you can have full knowledge, because you've got schisms. If there's any schisms here, I don't know where they are. I say we sure knocking our patting ourselves on the back. But that's factual. And one day, you know what, as a result of this, notice, we're going to be brought to the perfect man. That word perfect means the one who's been brought to complete fruition, completely mature. We'll be no longer tossed to and fro about different opinions, but we will know the truth. And you know what the truth does for you, beloved? It makes you free. You can be bold because you're no longer guessing about it. You're not expressing an opinion. You're expressing a belief. And as a man thinketh, what is he? So he is. It's amazing how much light the Scripture throws on it. It's a wonderful commentary. Men write commentaries, but the greatest commentary of all is right here in front of you. And that's what the Holy Spirit's business is, to guide you into all truth. See? So we all come in this unity of the faith unto the mature man. And they haven't used the ordinary word for man here. Anthropos is the common word for man. This is on there. It speaks of the husband. That speaks of headship, beloved. Today, the man is no longer the head. He's the tail. There must be a reason. You see that? It's taking woman from her high calling. See, and brought her down to the level of men with a career in mind. And God already had a career for her all the time. See, she used to be the balance in the man's life. You see, a man needs somebody that he can look up to. He cannot look up to a woman because she's got a high position of a job and a career. She's a stabilizing force in his life, because he's out in the world every day if things are running right. And he's dirty, and everywhere he goes, he's filled with dirt. But he comes home to an atmosphere that's right. You see, the ancient sage understood that. The one that rules the world is the hand that rocks the cradle. Make no mistake about that. Not the one who's serving in the vice presidents of a corporation. Believe me. That's the way it is. If you're, of course, a strong feminist, you won't like this. But then I don't think God likes what they're doing either, so I think it's about a standoff. I realize the economies and things the way they are. It's been so reversed. But look what it's done to our nation. Today, Madison Avenue, the news media, has just about brainwashed this nation with its intellectualism to where we don't have any common sense anymore at all. We forgot what common sense is all about. But we're going to be brought in order to the fullness of the stature of Christ, whatever that means. I can't take hold of that, but we have been raised. Let me emphasize that again. Where Christ is seated right now in the very throne room of God, we and this calling of this time, not Israel's calling, which is strictly earthly, but our calling is to be exalted in the very place where Christ Jesus is right now. Think about that. Our calling, as we will see next week, we're dealing with the body next week. We looked last week at the unity of the Spirit. Today we're looking at the unity of the faith, what that will eventually lead to. And next week we're going to look at the body of believers himself, and how that will function perfect at God's prescribed place and time. It could do now. It could. These things are all possible even here. But the reason why, because we've done everything backwards and not as God laid it out for us. We no longer have any unity of the faith. We certainly don't, unity of the spirit. We certainly don't have any unity of the faith. And we don't have any unity of the body either. All this is moving and just about to come to a head. The closer we get to that day, the night, the darker the night, and the more troublesome things are going to be. Let me assure you, beloved, things are not going to get better. The Bible tells us they're going to get worse and worse and worse. Men deceiving each other. The deceivers being deceived by deceivers, one after another. And so if you don't have this as your foundation, in a practical way, and that's what we're dealing with, practical things there. That's the practical section we're talking about. I do really think, as sure as I'm sitting here, that God is going to intervene with the coming of Elijah, and in a very short time. But if he doesn't, let me assure you, beloved, that the alternative is so horrible. I hate to anticipate what that'll be like. But I thank God I do believe, with what light I have now, that every one of you in this room, unless you have some freak accident, will be here to see that administrative change. And so in that context, you and I are a very privileged people to be living in this hour of darkness, just before the dawn. We've got more knowledge and less sense than any people has ever been. And where the people have no vision, they do what? They perish. It's time for God to move in. And I believe he will. Our time is gone. We'll pick up the unity of the body next week. Father, thank you for this fellowship. May these things be cause us to be sober-minded about our walk in this life. And I mean by sober-minded not trying to please men, but in obedience to the things that God has given us in a practical way, that we may show forth things in life from His vantage point, have a sense of passion and realization and compassion, that we may be approved in Your sight in this matter, not being approved in the sight of man, but in God's sight. Give us this spirit from within our own life. Let this be a passion that we may get to know Him in the power of His resurrection. Thank You, Father, for this. In Christ Jesus' name, amen.
His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.